This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Like that, Steve Addazio out as head football coach at CSU. The lights in the hallowed halls of the congressional D.C. swamp will stay on thanks to a continuing resolution that was passed by the Senate, now going for President Joe Biden's signature. Of course, he will sign it, but those lights will stay on at least until February 18th, 2022. Alec Baldwin sounds somewhat plausible. Be interested in your thoughts if you happen to watch that interview last night. In this interview with ABC's Georgia Stephanopoulos relative to that tragic shooting on the set of Rust. And we knew it was coming. The first case of the COVID-19 variant Omicron has been detected in Colorado. No shortage of things to get to this morning, so let's just do that. 608 now, Northern Colorado's voice, 1031 1310 KFKA, Mornings with Gail. Yeah, Colorado has its first case of that Omicron variant of COVID-19. It was identified in an Arapahoe County woman who recently traveled to Southern Africa. This according to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, working from Peace out of 9 News this morning by Jennifer Campbell Hicks. CDPHE announced the case just moments before Governor Jared Polis held a briefing yesterday afternoon. Now, apparently, as is the case with most of those who have been diagnosed with this Omicron variant, the symptoms were fairly mild, and this woman in Colorado was experiencing minor symptoms. She was isolated and recuperating at home, again, according to CDPHE. And yes, like that initial case that was discovered in California, she is fully vaccinated and eligible for a booster, but hasn't yet received it. Now, the Colorado State Public Health Laboratory found the case by conducting a genome sequencing on the specimen, confirming the presence of the variant. The specimen had that signature S gene target failure diagnostic test, which seems to be the identifier of this Omicron variant. This is a profile that had been identified in past Omicron cases, again, according to CDPHE. The case was identified after the woman got a positive test result and through routine case investigation by the Tri-County Health Department. Now, because the woman had recently been to Africa, CDPHE collected an additional specimen for sequencing. Now, Colorado is the fifth state to detect the Omicron variant, along with California, Minnesota, New York, and Hawaii. It was the first, Colorado was, it was the first in the nation to identify that Alpha variant last December. So once again, CDPHE recommending that anyone coming back from international travel should get tested 3 to 5 days after their return. As you're aware, this Omicron variant was recently detected in late November, this in the region of Southern Africa. And CDPHE said it might be responsible for an increase in COVID cases in that area, but so much more research on this variant is needed. I mean, we know based on the information, based on, yes, the science available at this point in time, that it does appear, and appear is the key word here, it does appear to be more transmissible, more contagious, yet the symptoms associated with it appear to be exceedingly mild, including things like fatigue and headache. Now, this the U.S. recorded its first confirmed Omicron variant case just this past Wednesday in that vaccinated traveler, again, who was fully vaccinated but had not yet gotten a booster shot. That vaccinated traveler who returned to California after a trip to South Africa, that person was identified as this traveler who had returned on November 22nd, returned to the U.S., developed mild symptoms, and tested positive for COVID-19 with this Omicron variant just on Monday. Meanwhile, you had Governor Jared Polis saying the presence of the new variant does not appear to be a huge cause for concern at this time, and that the response strategy is the same as when the Delta variant became widespread. Delta variant, by the way, at this point in time is still the most common variant and sadly one of the deadliest variants of COVID-19. Polis provided that update on Colorado's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, again, just after the state's first case of the Omicron variant was reported. He once again urged all of us to get vaccinated and boosted. But once again, there is some concern about the efficacy of the vaccines and the booster shots, particularly with regard to this variant. Not saying they don't work, just saying that, well, the jury is still out on their effectiveness, given the fact that at least two cases of the Omicron variant discovered in the United States involve folks that had been fully vaccinated, but once again, had not gotten their booster shot. But you had Governor Jared Polis urging all of us to get vaccinated and boosted, noting that the research shows that the efficacy of these vaccinations wanes around 6 months after receiving the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccines and 2 months after receiving the J&J vaccine. He went on to say yesterday when the pandemic began 2 years ago, no one knew exactly what this virus would bring. And well, to some degree, it could be argued we're still discovering it, this as the virus continues to mutate. The Delta variant wave, he went on to say, came just as we thought. We turned the tide in Colorado. Now we're facing a new challenge, adding, in his opinion, that's why we need to double down on what we know works. That means getting vaccinated and, if you're eligible, get boosted. Polis went on to say there are currently about 1,400 COVID-related patients hospitalized in the state, which leaves occupancy higher than they are usually accustomed to dealing with. There is capacity, he said. If you need care, you will get it, but it is very challenging at these levels. Now, during the most recent surge that had just started showing signs of a downward trend across the state, Polis said he was making arrangements to increase hospital capacity by about 500 beds, and those plans still in the works. Polis said the state is less concerned about exceeding hospital capacity compared to 2 weeks ago, but the unpredictability of COVID-19 and the addition of this new Omicron variant makes it hard to predict the course Colorado will take over the coming weeks and months. Polis said, when this virus throws spitball after screwball, who knows where we will be in 2 weeks, especially after holiday gatherings. Again, that Arapahoe County woman who tested positive just yesterday for that Omicron variant is fully vaccinated but has not yet received a booster. Again, she is experiencing minor symptoms and recovering in isolation at her home. How concerned are you about this Omicron variant? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text, 888-530-0. 43. 6:16 now, Northern Colorado's Voice. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an incredible production of The Sound of Music running through January 30th. It's going to be one of the hottest tickets in town. So for tickets and show information, I would suggest you jump online to Suite to visit ColoradoCandlelight.com for tickets and show information. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, Broadway in your backyard.
Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NoCo Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Someone's winning $1,000 this year with KFKA's Cash for Christmas. Find out how at 1310KFKA.com.
Well, the signs were certainly there. Can't say that we didn't see it coming. This as Rams football coach Steve Addazio got the boot yesterday. Question is, did you think it was going to happen so soon? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text, 888-530-0043. 623 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 1031, 1310, KFKA. But as Sean Keeler points out in the Denver Post, well, the Rams paid a pretty steep price to land Steve Addazio as football coach to begin with, and arguably an even steeper one by letting him go. But what you need to know, and our own Brady Hall, and I'm sure this will likely come up during the whole show today, heard from noon to two with your host, Brady Hall. But the timing wasn't coincidental. And this is something that Brady keyed in on when we talked about this, the possibilities as far as what the future held for former CSU Ram coach Steve Addazio. He actually nailed this one, because as the timing wasn't coincidental, you had at 11:59 Wednesday night, stay with me here, Joe Parker, athletic director at Colorado State, well, he would have owed Steve Addazio $5 million as a buyout for terminating Addazio's contract without just cause. But at the stroke of midnight, the buyout dropped to $3 million. Well, that was the one thing, said Parker, of the decision Thursday morning to fire Addazio after just two seasons. That was the one thing that I could control that lessened the financial impact of it all. As a result, the tenure of one of the more curious hires in CSU football history came to a rather abrupt end. Addazio was let go following that rather lackluster 4-12 record in his 16 games in charge of Rams football, and only 5 days after becoming the first coach in CSU football history to be ejected from a game, Parker said at a news conference at Canvas Stadium on Thursday afternoon. This wasn't the outcome that I was expecting. It wasn't the outcome that I was looking for. And it certainly wasn't the tab that he was looking for either. Now, assuming Addazio's replacement is hired this month, any ideas along those lines? CSU will be on the hook for salaries of three different head football coaches during the 2021 calendar year. The Rams must now pay Addazio that aforementioned $3 million divided in equal monthly installments for the next 3 years, unless Addazio lands another coaching job. If he does, his salary from that job will be subtracted from what CSU owes him. So obviously, Parker would love to see his now former coach find work, and well-compensated work at that, as soon as possible. Parker went on to say the buyout is not a trivial number by any means. Oh, he is the master of understatement, isn't he? It'll be stretched out over the remainder of what was Coach Dazio's employment agreement. So we've got 3 years to manage and mitigate it. School also paid another ex-football coach, Mike Bobo, who was in charge of the program from 2014 to 2019, a sum of $608,333 this past June 30th and owes a similar payment next summer. So, add on that salary. This was a costly mistake, wasn't it? Add on the salary for Adazo's successor that is expected to at least fall in that $1.5 million per year range, and the university will likely be paying at least $3 million to three different head football coaches, both past and present, in 2022. Now, throw in assistant salaries. Adazo, by the way, was given a pool of $2.8 million for up to 20 positions, and that total is expected to skyrocket closer to $6 to $7 million in 2022 for all football-related coaches and support staff. Now, when asked if a booster had stepped forward to cover Adazio's payout, Parker had a rather short answer to that question. No. He replied simply, no. Now, Parker said the university will conduct a search for the new coach differently than it did 2 years ago. I think that's a good idea, don't you? A process, sources say, centered largely around university president Joyce McConnell. Parker and the consultation of current Jacksonville Jaguars coach Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer, former CSU football assistant, whom Adazio worked for years ago. The university apparently is contracting the services of the Collegiate Sports Associates search firm, which is run by former FBS athletic director Todd Turner. Last time we got really focused, said Parker, on someone with head coaching experience. I want to really approach this with an open mind and do our best to cast the net far and wide. Parker said he's already received a lot of interest in the position as of Thursday afternoon. You do realize, don't you, that it's been 14 years since Sonny Lubick was relieved of his duties as CSU head football coach following a 15-year run that saw the Rams go 182-108 with 9 bowl bids and 4 double-digit win seasons. And since then, the program, well, has struggled to find its footing, to field a consistent winner with only 6 teams above 500. But Steve Adazio out at CSU. Who should be in? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our text line at 888-530-0043. All right, we spent some time talking about the so-called Great Resignation. This as Americans are quitting their jobs at record rates. And of the 10 states leading the trend, Colorado is tied for fourth. Now, what about the conventional wisdom of never quitting a job until you have another one lined up? Has that fallen by the wayside? We'll check in with Martha Krejci, a business strategist, when she joins us right around 6:35.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, getting a job used to be the pathway to adulting. I mean, it was the natural progression of things as we all resigned ourselves to a life of work. But many are now eyeing the door, leaving their jobs en masse in what is known as the Great Resignation. And of the 10 states leading the trend, Colorado is tied for fourth. So is it a good idea to just pull up stakes and leave your job without another job lined up? Or is that outdated conventional thinking? 638 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gail. Joined this morning by Martha Krejci. Martha is a business strategist who just authored the new book, The Home-Based Revolution, Create Multiple Income Streams from Home. Martha, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, Gail, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. So, you know, as we look over the past couple of years, the pandemic has changed so many aspects of our lives. And it seems as though the so-called Great Resignation, well, that just seems to be more fallout from the pandemic. Am I correct in that assumption?
I mean, I think the assumption, I can't be the one to say either, right? We're all speculating, but it certainly seems to be. I mean, everybody was forced to work from home, and then they realized, like, hey, I kind of like this place that I never saw, right? So, like, and then they were seeing their kids more, and all jokes aside, where people are like, man, if I could get away from my kids for a bit. But all jokes aside, I think people missed it. I think people missed being around their families more, and then really just having some sort of, you know, control over their day and what their day actually looked like. So, yeah, I think it is fallout from COVID, which is, I mean, I don't think it's bad fallout, actually.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's interesting to me when I look at this, because I'm of a certain generation where, yes, that's what you did. There were certain kind of touchstones or touch points in life. And what you did is you went out and you found a job and it paid the bills. But it seems as though, once again, there's been this shift as more and more of us are looking not just for that income stream, but to find work that fits our mindset, our values, what's important to us. Are you seeing that?
Oh, 100%. I also know, you know, the job scene from even 20 years ago is so much different than what it is now. And that's even coming from a company loyalty standpoint. You know, I mean, back in even, you know, the 70s or 80s, you had still some loyalty from companies to the people that worked for them. So there was, you know, there was loyalty from the employees to the company, but there was also loyalty from the company to the employees. And more these days, we're seeing companies that will just lay folks off out of nowhere. And we saw that with COVID, and they had to, you know, from a company standpoint, they had to. But there are also companies that don't necessarily have to that are making that choice. And so people just, they're not feeling as safe as they felt before. And so now they're realizing, like, my gosh, I'm the only one really in control of my family's safety, financial safety at this point. And so they're taking different steps. And yeah, I think finally deciding to move towards stuff that they're passionate about. I mean, if they've got to make a move anyway, why not move in that direction? I'm seeing a lot of people do that.
641 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA. Martha Krejci is a business strategist who's been described, I love this, Martha, as a high-vibin' mama and life coach who helps people escape their 9-to-5 cages. And Taste of Freedom, author of the newly released book, The Home-Based Revolution, Create Multiple Income Streams from Home. All right, so describe what it's like to be a high-vibin' mama.
Well, I think you're just hearing it in my voice, right?
Yes.
Like, I just feel good about most things, and that's really, I think, and again, that's what people call me. That is not what I call me. But it's really just being able to make anything into a good opportunity, a good learning lesson, instead of just wallowing in negative stuff, which we see a lot in the world.
Definitely. And certainly we're all looking for that ray of sunshine, a little bit of positivity, not toxic positivity, but realistic positivity. All right. So let's get back to that conventional wisdom. And this was a trope that was always very prevalent in my life. And that is, you never leave a job until you have another job, you know, bird in the hand, so to speak. Is that still relevant? Does that still apply?
I mean, it should. We should be, you know, having at least have some sort of nest egg where you've got financially, you've got that buffer, you know, what a lot of financial analysts will tell you. But also, there's something to be said for, and I'm not saying for everybody to do this, but I definitely did it myself, so I'm just going to say that. I quit my job when I didn't have anything else lined up, and I'm not saying for everybody to do it, but when you have to make something work, you will make something work. And so the opportunity is out there to, you know, I mean, we live in this gig economy now, so any skill set you're good at, if you can write blogs, or if maybe you do graphic design, or maybe you can edit people's stuff for them, I mean, any skill set that you have, you can probably monetize in the gig economy. You could probably sign up with any, you know, Upwork or freelance or website and start getting gigs where you can start making money off of that. So, you know, while you should have something, whether it's a nest egg, there is value in not having anything because you have to make something work. When you have something, you're less likely. So here's, I guess, what I'm saying. When you have a safety net, you're more likely to use it, if that makes sense. And so you're not going to use it if you don't have it.
Well, and I just think it goes to your mindset, your strengths, and your comfort level. We all know that life doesn't come without risk. So basically, you have to ask yourself the question, am I willing to get out there on that high wire without a safety net?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Because
it's
arguably,
amazing things happen on the high wire.
Yes, because arguably you could push yourself even further, but it's not a one-size-fits-all equation, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It matters who you surround yourself with as well, because if you're surrounding yourself with a bunch of naysayers or people that are like, they don't understand what you're doing, if you're doing that, don't talk to them about it, okay? Because all you're going to hear is their limitations and them saying, oh my gosh, don't do that. That's crazy, right? And it's going to get into your head. So if you are surrounded with those types of people, make sure you find yourself a good entrepreneurial community that are people doing the same thing that you're doing, so they can give you your high fives, your dap, your slaps on the shoulder sort of thing to let you know that you're doing the right thing and you're doing good. And so then you can keep going and make it happen.
So avoid the Debbie Downers at all costs is essentially what you're
saying. All of the costs, yes.
I had to laugh when you said you can edit other people's stuff, because that's my second job as a book editor, and I've been doing that for about 11 years. So, you know, it's funny because for many of us that have been entrepreneurial for quite some time, I mean, the pandemic threw a wrench in our spokes in, as I said, just about every single arena. But for those of us that have worked from home in the past, well, it just kind of increased that particular skill set, because I'm very, very used to being my own IT person whenever my computer decides to crash and burn. But I think it's just fabulous that so many now are exploring that vast avenue of opportunity for them. But meanwhile, on the flip side of the equation, it's tough to be an employer these days, as you have more job openings across the country than people willing to feed them and or to fill them, I should say. And as another consequence of the Great Resignation, you know, when you left a job, there used to be an exit interview. Well, now there's a new trend. It's called the stay interview that employers are using, begging their employees to stay.
Oh, my word. Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, you got it. That's just great. Yeah. So, Martha, tell us a little bit about your new book, The Home-Based Revolution, Create Multiple Income Streams from Home.
Oh, man, thanks so much for asking. Mm-hmm. It's basically, it's a high-level view of what I have done with my own family. So we created multiple income streams from home. We work about 5 to 10 hours a week, except for like some interviews and stuff like that. But it's what we've done. So I give the basics of it, and then I also give some stories of students of mine and what they've done with the program. And really, it's about being able to find that skill set for yourself. A lot of times people can't see the forest for the trees. You were lucky that you knew that you would be a good book editor. Some people, they carry around these skill sets and they just don't see it for themselves for whatever reason. And so it helps people be able to see what their skill sets are and then to be able to monetize them in many ways. And essentially it's in service to their people. And I won't go into all of that because we don't have that much time, but there's a very cool thing that we do, and we create communities for our people. So we get very specific about who our people are, and then we just serve them so well. And so whenever we're selling, and I put my hands in air quotes there, but mm-hmm. whenever we're selling, it's always in service, and you never feel like a skis ball or anything, because you literally are helping your people. So that's what the Home-Based Revolution is about.
Well, and that's so well described, something that I've never really articulated that you just did so beautifully. Both of my positions as a talk show host and as a book editor, because it's all about relationship and building those bonds and expanding your network, because you're doing something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, Martha, thank you for injecting some much needed positivity into our Friday morning. Certainly do appreciate it. Where can we find your book, and where can we learn more about you and your work?
Oh, thanks. You can find my book at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can just go to marthasbook.com, and that'll take you to, I think, the Amazon page. And then just where you can find me is my website is withmartha.com. I try to keep everything very easy. So withmartha.com is kind of the hub, and then you'll be able to see social media, blog posts, all of that sort of stuff. I have trainings all over the place, and 90% of them are free. So I like people to be able to get their business going, and then whenever they want to keep moving, then they can start buying into stuff. But I don't want you to do it right away.
Martha Krejci, business strategist, a high vibin' mama, and a life coach, author of The Home-Based Revolution, Create Multiple Income Streams from Home. Martha, thanks again for your time, your insights, your perspectives. Certainly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Gail. I appreciate you having me here.
Take good care. 651 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Northern Colorado's Voice and your home for the Denver Broncos is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, CSU football coach Steve Addazio got the boot just yesterday. More trouble for Mr. Addazio. 6:55 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA, Mornings with Gail. According to a piece by Kevin Lytle out of the Colorado and recently fired Colorado State head football coach Steve Addazio, quote, likely, close quote, made a racially insensitive comment and a statement that indirectly threatened a custodian's job during an October 2020 altercation. This according to an investigation by the university's Office of Equal Opportunity. Apparently, the involved custodian, who is black, told an investigator that, quote, he was talked down to, close quote, called boy in a derogatory manner, close quote, and had his job threatened by Addazio after the coach was told a restroom in the Colorado State University football offices was closed for cleaning on October 20th, 2020. Now, Addazio disputed the allegations and said the janitor escalated the confrontation, but an investigator's report said that surveillance video from the facility showed Addazio as the aggressor during the more than 3-minute confrontation. Now, the investigator's report, dated December 18, 2020, called Addazio's actions problematic, but said they did not establish harassment on the basis of race under CSU's discrimination and harassment policy, which was the basis of the investigation. AD Joe Parker was asked about the report just yesterday after Addazio was fired. Parker said, can't really speak to specifics. You have that investigation, which, by the way, the Coloradoan does have. There were no findings. It really did not play a role in my decision as it relates to Coach Addazio. 657 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO Now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, the Better Business Bureau is calling it the 12 scams of Christmas. These are the online schemes that are most likely to catch you off guard this season. Now, hopefully you made it through Black Friday and Cyber Monday unscathed, but you better watch out, because while Santa Claus is making his way to town, the 12 scams of Christmas, yep, they're already here. We're going to talk to a cybersecurity expert about those scams. Nick Powers will join us at 8:05. 1310 KFKA, Greeley, Loveland, Longmont. It's 7 o'clock.